Call to order the House Committee on Judiciary Civil Law. Happy Friday afternoon. We have six bills in front of us, and at 3 minutes each, we should be done in about 18 minutes. 20 minutes just to give time to change files in between bills. Can you do it, Tim? Okay. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 76. Counsel.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 76, which actually came by way of the auspices of the Oregon Law Commission, a work group involving juvenile law practitioners, judges, and other interested parties. In essence, the current situation is that when there is a juvenile court proceeding and also a domestic relations proceeding regarding the visitation or custody of a child, the two matters are consolidated into one before the juvenile court. That is a change that was made 2 years ago. Since that time, certain logistical and other issues have arisen, which Mr. Travis, I think, will go into more detail, which have created some problems for practitioners in the area. This bill would just clarify that when those matters are consolidated before the juvenile court, one judge shall hear all those matters, and the juvenile case shall be addressed first by the court. It also creates a protocol when you have simultaneous proceedings occurring in two different counties for the judges in both those counties to communicate with one another and resolve which county shall hear the cases. Mr. Chairman?
All right. Mr. Travis, welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Timothy Travis from the Oregon Judicial Department. Are there any questions? No. Senate Bill 76.
I had my hand on the gavel.
Senate Bill 76 is one of those bills that is a result of a work group. The Oregon Bar Association and the Judicial Department, everybody who worked on this is in accord with this bill. Essentially what this does is two things. It allows a judge to grant domestic relations type custody in a juvenile child abuse case when the granting of that custody will allow the child abuse case to be closed. So what's happening now is that you will have a situation in which a child is in foster care, or let's say a child has been placed in the care of the non-custodial parent because of abuse either at the hand of the custodial parent or the custodial parent's boyfriend or something like that. And all you have to do to ensure the child is safe is to leave the child with the non-custodial parent. But you cannot close the juvenile court case because the custodial parent still has a custody order. And if you close the juvenile court case, the status reverts to the domestic relations order and the abusive parent can go and get the child back. So what this says is that the juvenile court can go ahead and grant custody to the non-custodial parent, which they cannot do now. And if you do that, then the juvenile court case can be closed. That is the probably smaller piece of this bill. The other piece of this bill has to do with what happens when you have a simultaneous domestic relations case and a child abuse and neglect case. And there are two problems when you have those two things going on. The typical scenario is that there's a domestic relations order out there. Parents are divorced. The child is abused. The case goes into juvenile court. And then the father, who is the non-custodial parent or the mother, or the grandmother, hires a domestic relations lawyer, files a change of custody. And right now what's happening is that both of the cases proceed at the same time. And we're having a lot of problems out there with practitioners of knowing what the lines are. And the two major problems are, first of all, in a child abuse case, you're entitled to court-appointed counsel if you can't afford it. In domestic relations, you're not. And if you mishmash these two cases together, the court-appointed counsel doesn't know where the line is between his or her representation in the child abuse case, and so they get dragged into depositions and all kinds of stuff that they don't want to do and that they don't get paid to do by indigent defense. The other problem is the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure, which apply in domestic relations cases, do not apply in juvenile court cases. So you have this problem of which rules apply at which proceedings. What Senate Bill 76 says is when you have, and the last page of the testimony I handed you should be this really tasteful chart that I did. And what happens is that when you have these two cases consolidated, the first thing that happens is the judge decides, is it in the best interest of the child to go forward with the domestic relations case? And if that's the best route for the child at the outset, The juvenile court case is put in abeyance. You do the domestic relations case. You change the custody, and everybody goes home. If, however, the judge decides that it's not in the best interest of the child to do the domestic relations case first, and in most cases the answer to that question will be no, then they're going to put the domestic relations case in abeyance and do the juvenile court case, do the complete investigation, do the jurisdiction and like that. Once you have done the jurisdiction in the juvenile court case, the judge knows all the facts about the child and the family and then can make a decision as to whether it's in the best interest of the child to change custody or to go forward with trying to reunify the child with the home in which the abuse occurred. This way, we do not have both proceedings, domestic relations and juvenile, going on at the same time. You have one going on or the other, so that you don't mix the lawyers and you don't mix the rules. So that, in a nutshell, is what Senate Bill 76 does. And this, I know this is a very complicated and technical area of the law, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you have about how this is going to work.
Okay. I'll just say this was another work group that I sat in on during the interim, and was broadly represented by folks who know this stuff inside and out, and I think did a commendable job in solving it. Apparently a problem for your, especially your juvenile court-appointed attorneys who get themselves unwittingly involved in defending or representing a client in a domestic relations suit and find themselves like fish out of water. Representative Lowe?
The only criticism I have of this bill is that it wasn't passed 10 years ago. This has been desperately needed for a very long time. There are a lot of people who just kind of abuse the system. If they can't win here, then grandma will go there, and it's bad.
Yeah. I don't know how to solve that. We could make them retroactive.
Are we in work session?
We're not yet. Does anybody else wish to testify on Senate Bill 76? Closed public hearing and open work session.
Chairman,
Representative Lowe.
Chairman, I move adoption of Senate Bill 76.
Representative Lowe moves House Senate Bill 76
with a due pass.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Backman?
Used.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Herbalow?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Excused.
Representative Will?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Excused.
Representative Lee?
Aye. Senate Bill 76 goes to the floor for the due pass recommendation. Representative Lowe, do you want to carry this?
Be happy to. Thank you.
Okay. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1157. There's no one signed up to testify, so, Council, if you'll tell us what this does, we'll close the public hearing and go right into work session.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1157 would increase the amount of attorney and trustee fees paid to a beneficiary of a trust deed by a person carrying default of a deed from $550 to $1,000. Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would just make the comment that actually I would even raise it higher. Thank you.
Okay. But that's not a conceptual amendment.
No. Given the work that really, even though they're by advertisement and sale and not by court foreclosure, they still take time and effort.
Okay. Anybody else? We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1157. Open the work session. Representative Werbelow?
I move... I move Senate Bill 1157 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Werbelow moves Senate Bill 1157 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Backman?
Used.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowell?
Aye.
Representative Werbelow?
Yes.
Representative Walker? Used. Representative Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 1157 goes to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Anybody want to carry? Representative Edwards.
More money for the utilities.
And trustees. Next, we'll go to a work session on House Bill 3304. Council.
Yes, guys.
You can sit there. Yes, sure. We're in work session.
Is there anybody else on the list?
No, there's no list out because we are in work session, although I see a couple suspects.
They're friendly faces.
Okay. I know that.
They're still suspect.
House Bill 3304, you have the dash four amendments before you. Actually, I have never spent so much time talked to so many people about a bill in my life that we've worked this bill very, very extensively with different police departments, state police, tow truck drivers, district attorneys, I can't even begin to think. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be totally satisfied. Somebody thinks the notice should be a certain amount of days. We have 3 days. But I think everybody's, at least the last I talked, is pretty well on board with this. It allows you to declare a motor vehicle a nuisance if when you're stopped and arrested or cited for a DUII, it is found that you have had a light charge within the past 10 years. You could forfeit the car then on that second time, or you can impound it. If you impound it, they can get it back out if you're not going to forfeit, but you have to sign this agreement that the next time, and that would be the third time if you're charged or arrested, the third time that it's an automatic forfeit. So, you know, there's no more impoundment, no more chances. It also provides for such things to get it out of impoundment. You have to pay the administrative charge. We did not put a specific amount because different locales wanted to charge different amounts. Their costs were different. You have to pay the towing charge and the impound storage charge. You have to give notice to lien holders because they can make a claim against the car. And I think basically that's it.
Okay. And the proceedings now are just done by the incorporation of Chapter 475.
Absolutely.
So we're not creating any new proceedings.
No, and we couldn't mix convictions with civil in rem.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on this? If you want to, sure, come on up. You drove all the way down here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine. I represent the Oregon Beer and Wine Distributors Association, and we are very much in support of this legislation. We would encourage you to pass this bill out as soon as possible because you are running late in the session. And if there are a few things that people might want to do to it, minor things in the Senate, then we can do it there. But we would very much encourage you to push this out. This is what you should be doing, going after the people, the repeat offenders, the people who are abusing the product, and we very much encourage an aye vote on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Dave, did you want to say anything? Okay. Are you sure? Come on.
Representative Shetterly, members of the committee, my name is Kurt Curtis, and I'm a sergeant with the Oregon State Police. I come here also in support of this bill. There are a few questions that came to mind, and I inherited this bill basically 2 days ago when the person that was originally working on it was moved up to Astoria area to do some training up there for new recruits. We have some general questions and concerns that have come up, basically because we deal with a transitory public, basically on the interstates, freeways, this type of thing, and the only real thing that we see on it is the fact that there's no central repository for the notifications. So you may have four different cities that all have notices signed by one person that's been traveling up and down I-5, and he could be subsequently arrested 4 or 5 times before anybody took notice of it. And then also, who would have jurisdiction on the seizure of the vehicle once the conviction took place? The other portion of question that we had was the fact of the seizure of the vehicle itself. If it was a vehicle that was registered out of state based on the transitory public that we get through. If the arrest took place up here, they had a prior, we had a notice signed, and the vehicle would be forfeited, but who would go and do the seizure of the vehicle, either whether it be a city PD, cross state, or whether out of state it's seizure. So, general question.
Mr. Chair, yeah, actually, we made this statute discretionary, not mandatory, so
right.
You'll be able to make some choices while you're out there, and we realize from all the discussions we've had, and we talk to people who have it too, like Deschutes County, Lincoln has it up in Multnomah. And you don't always, you know, you fit kind of whatever's happening in any one given situation. And I know the state police have a little different situation sometimes than the local police. If you can think of some way, as we said in the Senate, that you can tinker with a little bit, but this is the best we came up with, and we felt that that fit everybody's needs, and we were talking to your predecessor and to DAs, as I said, local police, everybody, trying to accommodate everybody's needs. One of the things that we discussed and then decided we wouldn't do is to do a bill that would specifically perhaps take care of the state police needs and then grandfather in everybody else who has an existing programs, because theirs wouldn't be the same. But then we just thought we'd have a mishmash of a program. It would depend on where you got stopped, what would happen, and we didn't think all the people who talked that would be a good idea.
Chair Shetterly, Representative Verbaugh. As I say, we are here in support of the bill as is written, and we do appreciate the fact that the discretionary piece was written into it. So,
and please go to the Senate, and you know, with any.
And you'll help him along.
I will.
And that concludes my testimony. If there's any questions.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Then let me close the public. I'm sorry, we're in work session. So we are in work session. I guess Mr. Romaine is correct. We are at the end of the line on House bills. My sense would be if the committee is so inclined to go ahead and move this out, and it may be entirely satisfactory, but I will trust Representative Werbelow to follow this through to the Senate with stakeholders, and if there's any fine-tuning that still needs to be done to take care of that over there.
Well, we've become one big family, so I can assure you I will continue if there's anything more to be done. May I like to move HB 3304?
Can we do the dashboard?
I am.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I can just sort and say I move the -4 amendments into HB 3304.
Hey, Representative Werbelow moves the -4 amendments to House Bill 3304. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative
Werbelow. Yes, Mr. Chair. I move HB 3304 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Werbelow moves House Bill 3304 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Aye.
House Bill 3304 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you very much. Representative Werbelow, I assume you want to carry this?
Yes.
Okay, we'll close the work session. Mr. Roberts, I'm trying to see whether you're interested in justice courts, court clerks, or custody orders. Oh, that's down the hall. Yeah, we're on a roll. Okay.
Do we still have five left?
We still have five, as long as everybody's one happy family on these. If not, we'll pull Representative Williams in. Okay, let's go into work session on House Bill, or Senate Bill, I'm sorry, 81. Council.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 80, sorry, Senate Bill 81 would clarify the authority of justice courts to enforce justice court judgments. As the committee will remember, previously public testimony was taken on this bill. It's back here because there are two amendments before you, the A5 amendments, which are simply to resolve conflicts in the bill with other legislation, and the A6s, which were done at the request of the county clerks, which would basically use more accurate language to describe the type of documents which they record in their office.
Mr. Chairman? Okay. I see some likely votes here on this one. No, I'm looking behind you. Jim, Charles, Tim, okay. Brad, Carl, Matt.
Chair, members of the committee, Jim Marquis, on behalf of the Oregon Collectors Association. I've read the -A6 amendments, and beyond that, Charles has told me they're fine, so I think they're fine. And the A5 amendments are just conflict amendments. Conflicts created from House Bill 2315. 415 and Senate Bill 29, I've reviewed those with the bills, and I think they're fine. And I would urge the committee to adopt both sets of amendments and move the bill forward.
All right, thank you. Mr. Stern.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Charles Stern, Yamhill County Clerk, and I think the amendment's been accurately described, and again, we, on behalf of the Oregon Association of County Clerks, we urge the movement of the bill.
As I recall, this is one where there was some inartful language or transcripts and things like that that just doesn't quite work with what clerks do. We fixed all that stuff?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. The one set of amendments takes, instead of talking about transcribing things to the clerk, you record things at the clerk, you transcribe to another
court.
All right,
that's good. Okay, any questions?
Boy, these are familiar. Geez, these aren't the same, same ones we had in agency performance and oversight operations. Excuse me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, no.
We did hear this once before.
We heard this one here.
I think I've heard mostly clerk bills this whole session.
In between your committee.
That's great.
Yes.
Okay, in that case, we are in work session. We have two amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I move the dash, which one do you want first?
Let's go with five.
Dash five into House Bill 81, or Senate Bill 81.
Representative Lowe moves the dash five, A5 amendments into Senate Bill 81, the dash five amendments. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move dash six amendments to be rolled into 81.
Representative Lowe moves the dash six amendments to Senate Bill 81A. Is there any discussion? Objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 81A as amended engrossed version to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 81A as amended by this committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Erbilow?
Yes.
Representative Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Excused. Aye. Senate Bill 81, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Wells, probably your turn.
I'll give her
five. Okay. You do it quiet and quick enough, and you'll be just fine. Okay. Senate Bill 69. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 69, Council.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 69, it establishes that the clerk of the court must mail a garnished money or proceeds to plaintiff or defendant within 21 days of the court's order on a claim of exemption instead of 10 judicial days. My understanding from talking to Senate counsel is that the amendments before the committee, the dash one amendments, were some issues raised by Representative Witt at that hearing, and Mr. Swank agreed to work with Representative Witt to resolve those concerns, and I see Mr. Witt is here today.
Well, Mr. Swank,
apologize.
I show this as having been heard on February 23rd.
Yes.
And it's now getting back to us.
Chair Shetterly, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brad Swank. I'm with the State Court Administrator's Office, and actually, we had the amendments worked out with Representative Witt's office within a week or so of when we had talked. There have been some processes that worked slowly. It took a while to get them back from counsel's office and those sorts of things, and I think it was waiting for you to finish some House bills.
Okay.
It's
our fault.
Anyway, to explain the amendments briefly, as you may recall, Senate Bill 69 changed from 10 to 21 days the amount of time after a claim of exemption hearing the courts had to return the monies. Representative Witt expressed some concern, why would we have to return all of the monies within 21 days when it's just the out-of-state monies that were creating problems. We worked with him to create a solution, and essentially what we did was we went back to 10 days in the statute, but we allowed the Judicial Department to establish written policies for certain categories of monies that they identify as creating problems, and to extend those, either to shorten or extend those to create a different period than the 10-day period when it was appropriate. And Representative Witt was happy with that, and those are the dash one amendments. Are there any questions? I can answer them. We encourage your adoption and passage of the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? We are in work session.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Edwards.
I move the dash ones into Senate Bill 69.
Representative Edwards moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 69. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 69 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves Senate Bill 69 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Erbilow?
Yes.
Representative Bell?
Yep.
Representative Witt?
Excuse?
Chair Shudderly?
Aye. Okay, Senate Bill 69 as amended goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are everybody else covered today? I'll take this one. I think we've all got bills so far. Okay. Close the work session on Senate Bill 69. We have one more bill before us. Open a work session on Senate Bill 662A. Council?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as you remember from public testimony, Senate Bill 662 deals with a couple of areas relevant to domestic relations practice. Primarily, the bill as originally written would eliminate the 90-day waiting period between filing a suit and a suit for dissolution or separation and the final decree if there is an agreed-upon judgment between the parties relating to essentially all issues, support, self-support, child support, custody, visitation. However, the committee was concerned that had raised the question of why is a property left out, a property issue left out of it, or a property division rather, left out of that those categories. There's an amendment before you which does a couple of things. First, it includes property and basically eliminates the 90-day waiting period if you have a stipulated judgment for whatever issues that are between the parties. It also deal with an issue that was raised by the committee about whether, in doing custody studies, the court can actually require a non-party to do, order a non-party to do something. The amendment that's before you, and there's actually a hand-engrossed version, which I'll pass out to the committee.
I think we've got that.
You have that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Which would address that issue by saying
good.
That the court can authorize people
good.
And, in fact, order parties to release such information. Mr. Chairman?
There's also, excuse me.
Yes, Representative Werbelow.
I think there's also a change. Well, first, let me say that I've talked to Senator Brown. We conferred on these and what needed to be changed, and she did agree to all of them, the proponents of the bill. And there's also a change, if my memory serves me correctly, about converting a decree of dissolution.
Or a separation into dissolution?
Separation. It was just a little tiny tweak.
Okay.
To just make it plainer language. Can we do that?
I don't remember that.
I always have trouble when I'm reading hand and gross because somebody's writing. Maybe we didn't do that. Maybe. But I know whatever we did, we all agreed on.
Okay. I want to thank you for holding this up just a little bit to make sure we've got it right. Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chair, I move the A3 amendments to Senate Bill 662.
Okay. Representative Edwards moves the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 662A. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we send Senate Bill 662 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves Senate Bill 662 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll. Call Representative Edwards first so he can get out of here to his gallery full of people.
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Representative Lowe.
Aye.
Yes. Representative Bell?
Yes.
Representative
Graham?
Aye.
And
Aye. Senate Bill 662, as amended by the committee, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Werbelow, you probably know this better than anybody else.
Okay.
And
the same day?
Close the work session on that. Let me see. How many votes did
you last week?
How many votes did you miss? Representative Williams, you missed 69 and 81. 81. I think that's it. Okay. Chair requests unanimous consent to return to work session on Senate Bill Senate 81 for the purpose of allowing Representative Williams to vote. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Representative Williams, how do you vote?
Votes aye.
Senate Bill 81A. Thank you. Close the work session. Chair requests unanimous consent to return to work session for the purpose of allowing Representative Williams to vote on Senate Bill 69. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Williams, how do you vote?
Votes aye.
Votes aye. Close the work session on Senate Bill 69, and we are adjourned. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Stay
strapped. Yeah, well,
we got them all off.